There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Tuesday. Glad you're here. And I'm really happy to hold over. I don't know if they're happy about it, but Alex and Chris, to talk more about this. Number one, this part of the training that's gone on here for their... And let's lay it out again in case we... Because I didn't really lay it out again in the last segment. Y'all are getting ready to do what come December 12th?
Race in the 2018 Talisker Whiskey Atlantic Challenge that starts in La Gomera, the Canary Islands off the west coast of Africa, and ends in Antigua in the Caribbean. 3,000 nautical miles, four U.S. Army paratroopers. What could go wrong?
and y'all are not just crossing the Atlantic. They're doing it by rowing. There's no sail. There's no engine. Y'all are rowing.
All man-powered. Yep, absolutely.
Okay, yeah, we are the engine.
Yes, human engine here. It's four vet power on this craft. Now, and you were talking about some of the logistics, just to nerd out here for a second, because the best-case scenario, the record time to make the crossing was how many days?
33 days.
33 days. Mm-hmm. It has taken some teams a good bit longer than that.
Yeah. Right. Upwards of 100 days. The guy was solo, and he had some pretty significant issues in getting across. But you know, he ended up making it across. They went and escorted him across, right. And he finishes crossing. But
Alex, you got to feed yourselves, and you have to hydrate yourselves. Mm-hmm. Four of y'all. Correct. On what could be in best case. I think y'all will set the new record. It'll be 32 days. But you still, that's a month and some change there that you are going to have to feed and hydrate and keep rowing the whole time.
Correct. You know, and feed, hydrate, and then we've also got priorities of work. So making sure, you know, we've got personal and boat hygiene to do. I mean, 30 days in a confined space like that is a long time to stay healthy.
Yeah. Maintain your motivation too. You know, right. You got to keep, you know, if somebody gets down, you got to be there to, hey, maybe they need a little bit of extra sleep. Let them go down. I'll take an extra shift. You know, we got to have that type of flexibility and understanding with each other, because, you know, you're going to be pushed. Literally, this is the toughest race on the planet. So it's exciting. We're looking forward to it. But we all know why we're doing it.
Yeah, and remind folks that were not with us last hour, you're doing it, why?
Oh, we're doing it for veterans who are suffering from PTSD, from reintegration, from traumatic brain injury issues. Everybody, when you come back, you have, like, a different world to return to. And, you know, we've been at the Global War on Terror for, 18 years? And we've partnered with University of Denver, and it's the only university that has a military mental health program. And you would think, wow, after 18 years, maybe more universities would catch on.
One would think it was a priority for what we've seen, you know, with our friends and family in this community.
Yeah, and we want to kind of put the, you know, you can sit there and look at a slideshow, 22 veterans took their lives today. Well, let's put a human face on that. Let's reach out to the people who were affected by that, you know, their family members and, you know, their children, their wives, their husbands, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, to us, it's all deeply personal because we've all lost, you know, friends and brothers to suicide, and that's unacceptable.
Yeah, I mean, you lost friends, I'm sure, and there, overseas, and right. then to make it back here and lose them. I mean, it's a tough deal. It's something that one of those stats you rolled out. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of people will see that 22 a day, but when it's not a name they know, it doesn't have the resonance.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, that's a good point too. And I'll, you know, if I can share, you know, one of the personal things. But Bo and I, is another one of the crew members, Bo Meyer. We were in the 82nd together. We got a phone call that was kind of staggering a couple years ago, and one of our good friends from 2006, 2007, Samara deployment, had decided to take his own life. And Bo and I drove from Denver, Colorado to Killeen, Texas to, attend his ceremony. And, after a really, really, really good cry and, you know, a bunch of hugs, we decided that we have to go ahead and make this happen now. And that's where Fight or Die, you know, was kind of born.
That's
when Bo and I made our decision that this is happening. And that's, you know, when shortly after Bryant Knight and Chris came on board. But that was the culminating event of we have to change something.
Then that began, and then how do you from there decide? Hey, you're going to come here, you're going to train, you're going to do it in 2018.
I had kicked this idea around in 2016 initially, and it's a tough start, and it's a really tough ask to tell you. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, first of all, you got to find a veteran that's able to leave their family, their job, and everything for a number of months to row across the Atlantic Ocean, which is it's a tough ask. And also you've got to fundraise. And mm-hmm. So when you go to a company or if you go to individuals and you say, "Hey, myself and four veterans are going to row the Atlantic Ocean to help guys out to help veterans," a lot of people in the United States have never heard of anybody rowing across an ocean before as a fundraiser.
Right, it's new. It's not the normal 5K, as you said earlier. Right. It's not, hey, we're getting down this weekend. We got the fun run and the 5K.
Right. And we got the ocean rowing guys, right. So a lot of that, you know, it sounds like, sounds kind of out there. But, I mean, where we're at right now, I mean, we're kind of living proof that we're going to make this happen. And, we feel like it's going to make a really positive impact in the veteran community, and hopefully it's going to spur change in other aspects of the care of veterans.
Well, we're going to follow what you do as we get to December 12th, and then we're going to follow y'all. Showed me here through an app, and we'll talk about it later on in a few months, how to follow y'all across the Atlantic and keep up with the team. But you mentioned fundraise. Before we wrap up here quickly, if people want to give to help out now, they want to give going forward, is there one website, one repository for all this? Where would you suggest they go?
You could go to our Facebook page, Fight or Die, OAR, or you go to our website, www.us, as in United States, vet, V-E-T, row, .org. And on that website, there you can donate as well, but you can also read about each individual rower's bio. You can see some of the videos of the races and read about our mission statement and why we're doing this.
Well, we will put that up on our social media pages as well and keep reminding folks going forward. And y'all said you just got a few more days here for training because mm-hmm. the whoopee,
yeah.
Right.
it gets packaged up in the bubble wrap and everything is sent across the Atlantic one way before y'all bring it back the other.
Right, right.
So, I mean, this is kind of a neat aside. You said it has to be in Charleston to be put on a ship here in what, just 7 days or so?
Right, by October 10th. And it's got to be containerized, banded, shipped by October 10th in order to be in La Gomera early enough for the race to receive it. That way, when we get to La Gomera, which we're leaving here in November 23rd, 24th time frame, we're going to be flying over there late November to be there several weeks prior to the start of the race so that we can, you know, do our PCCs and PCR pre-combat checks, that kind of thing is what... That's our vernacular. Sorry.
Our race prep.
Yeah, race prep, right. to do all that and then to, if there's anything that's been damaged during the shipping or anything that was, you know, was left out or anything that, you know, has otherwise messed up or anything, we decide that, oh, yeah, we need this now. We have time to order that, get that in. But, race start December 12th, and, you know, we're really looking forward to getting on that water. And
follow
us,
man. We'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. We'll put that information up, and I'll probably call you and bother you early December to see how it's going.
Please do.
Alex, Chris, thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for what you're doing.
And thank you, Mobile, for your hospitality. You've been awesome.
We are more than happy to do it, so come back soon. Come back next year. Get the crew to come back next year as well. We're coming right back. More Midday Mobile. This is FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. More information about the Fight OR, O-A-R, Die guys and their first all-U.S. veteran team to do this Talisker Whiskey Atlantic Challenge, a 3,000-mile race from La Gomera to Antigua. More information on our social media platforms, and we'll follow them and then follow them when they get started with that race on December 12th. All right, it's good to have my buddy on here to talk more about somebody. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, joining us because there's so many questions, and I know I got to held you over for a few minutes, but I appreciate you having a little patience with us because I've got questions I need answers to. Hey, man.
No, I was really glad I got to listen to that last segment. Man, those guys are doing some amazing work.
Yeah, it really is neat. I mean, it's four U.S. veterans, men that have lost loved ones and friends as they've come back home here to suicide and raising awareness for that and doing it in a big way by rowing a 28-foot boat across the Atlantic. So it is neat. And I'll give you information there if you want to follow them. I want to talk about what's going on with the state of Alabama and, of course, Alabama Daily News. Tell folks about if they want to get Alabama Daily News delivered like I do to their inbox. How do they get your email and then talk more about the website?
Yeah, that's really the easiest way. It's aldailynews.com, which of course, you know, that you can go to the website and there's all kinds of news every day. But the easiest way is just to sign up. You subscribe right there on the homepage. You click the subscribe button. It's all free. You know, submit your email and your name, and you'll get an email from me about 8 o'clock every morning that just is a rundown of all the day's news. I find that it's, you know, that's kind of how I get my news these days is through email. It's just easier. We're all using our phones. And so that's the best way to do it is just subscribe right there on the homepage at aldailynews.com.
I want to talk about a couple of the items. There's been a bunch of national, of course, as you have a great sense of national stories we need to know about back home in Alabama. But I also want to talk about some of these specific Alabama stories. Although I know one of the stories was they asked Kay Ivey if they thought if she thought Brett Kavanaugh should be confirmed. I said, you know, why a news group thinks that we need to have that take, I don't know. But you pointed out in today's email, speaking of Governor Ivey, this is really an interesting take, and it's. It may be very, very genuine. If not, it's genius. Even if it is genuine, it's genius. The new Governor Kay Ivey ad here. Talk to me about this. Talk to me about that's as close as I'll ever get.
I really thought it was, I don't know, homespun, genuine, just kind of a really nice way. There's so many negative ads out there during campaign season. There's so much just negativity and trash, and especially what we're dealing with now nationally, just from a political standpoint. So the Ivey campaign released a brand new ad in which she shows a picture of a photograph that she took when she went to the governor's office as a 23-year-old, I think, sitting in Lurleen Wallace's chair. And, you know, I think she was at Girls State at the time. And she scribbled on the back a long time ago, back then, back in the 60s, "This is as close as I'll ever get."
Wow.
Which is just really interesting considering, you know, well, she was wrong. She actually did get there. She's got that top job. And now she's running to be the second woman elected governor of Alabama. Of course, you know, Lurleen Wallace was elected governor of Alabama, and not discounting that at all. But it's pretty well understood that it was about her husband.
It was another term for George Wallace, right?
Right, right. He was term limited. Right. So really, in many ways, it's kind of the first.
Bingo.
And I think that is, first of all, that's significant. But, you know, she kind of spun it into hey, anything is possible in Alabama, that we're optimistic, we are, you know, hopeful. And I thought that was a good message to have as opposed to all this negativity out there.
No, I think you're right. And I mean, I'm not always on here just rah-rah, and I'm not a water carrier, but when a Politico gets it right, I'm also going to say they got it right in the messaging. And you're very savvy in this. And not only is it that story specifically about Alabama and this connection first, but it also, in this time, that it seems like it has been the province of Democrats, of this messaging of moving women forward, women achieving, all these kind of things. Here is a Republican governor who really, this is close as all. First of all, that hits you. It makes people realize how far we've come, realize how unfair it was in the past, but also shows future, and it's showing it through a Republican governor in a state of Alabama.
Yeah, it is significant, and you're right. The advancement of women, I mean, the women's liberal liberation movement, feminism, the sexual revolution, whatever you want to call it, especially through the 90s and 2000s, I mean, it's all been pretty much on the left. And, you know, here's Kay Ivey, who has worked as a teacher. She worked as a state government employee, you know, worked her way up in state government. You know, she was state treasurer for all those years and lieutenant governor. I mean, she has really put in her time. And, you know, of course, she took over as governor, not because she wanted to, but because, you know, the Bentley debacle, and she assumed that job. So, you know, I think she's got a pretty good story. And I've known her for a while. I've always admired Governor Ivey. I mean, she's very conservative, very, you know, solid in what she believes in. And, you know, there's going to be an election. We're going to have, you know, we'll talk about the different issues and everything. But just based on her experience and being a conservative Republican, you know, woman, I think is pretty significant and should not be discounted one bit.
Right. And I think it plays a couple different ways. Number one, if, and I'm not saying that, believe me, because I thought, I mean, I'm giving it many thumbs up, and I usually don't do that for political ad. I'm giving it many thumbs up with the messaging here. But it also on the underside of it, not in a bad way, but I don't know if it was purposeful. I think it's got to be, though. If Walt Maddox is going to come and frame this as about the old guard versus the new, right? He's not going to argue this is Democrat versus Republican, because he knows where that'll go. It's the old guard versus the new. I got new ideas. These are yesterday's ideas. Look at me. I'm young. Look at Governor Ivey. She's old. He just got handed a card of, hey, I'm a woman who would be, you know, the second and the first, we'll say, duly elected female governor of the state of Alabama. And you're just another dude, to put it in Sullivanese.
Yeah, I actually spent this past Saturday, on the road with Walt Maddox. I'm trying to do both campaigns, mm-hmm. kind of spend a day with him and just to profile it for the Alabama Daily News. And I got to spend the whole day with him. And yeah, look, he's very energetic and ambitious. And he's 45 years old, you know. And yes, he is absolutely trying to frame this as, you know, young, energetic, optimistic in the future. Every campaign stop he had, he talked about the future, and I'm the future, and all these kind of things. So yes, he doesn't ever say age, but it's sort of the subtext.
Yeah, it is.
Sure, and no question about it. And that's, yeah. If people are thinking that on election day, it would help him. But if they're thinking Republican and conservative versus Democrat and liberal, then that obviously does not help him. So yeah, I don't. The Ivey campaign has chosen not to take the bait on that and just, you know, almost embrace the, hey, you know, this picture was taken in the 60s. Yeah, I'm a little older, but look at how this frames how far we've come in Alabama.
Right.
So it's pretty clever.
Yeah, it really is. I'd be very, very impressed. Let's talk about this as well as we look forward to the next part of it. We got to get through the general out there. And but no matter what happens, right, we're looking at a, is it a 30? I've heard 1/3, 33% replacement of members of the Alabama House and Senate. Is that still correct? That it's a third changeover?
It's about 25%.
Okay, 25%.
You know, so they've got 140 total between the House and the Senate, and 35 are not seeking re-election.
I didn't know there'd be math.
So I think it's around 25 and close to 30%. So And that's just people not seeking re-election. You know, you could have people lose their seat.
Sure, sure.
And that would put the number up. So, but even if it is just 25%, that's a lot. That's a lot of the legislature that was there last term. It's not here this term.
Right. And so, when we come back, I want to talk about this, because some of the things I'm hearing that will be top of the agenda items in session, are they coming up because the time is right? Are they coming up because, well, you got some new players in the mix? We'll get more on this from Todd Stacey with Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Look at the link I just put up on Twitter with this Governor Ivey ad.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here and good to talk to our friend Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And you'll go directly there if you click that link I put up on Twitter to see the ad from Governor Ivey. And that's as close as I'll ever get. Not saying that it's not genuine as a day is long, but from a political mind, Todd, that is gold.
That's the thing, you know. Politicos like me over the years have just, you know, you get that and you think, man, this is going to be great. I can't wait to run this ad. So I'm sure that they knew they had a piece of gold, and so they couldn't wait to get it out the gate.
That is for sure. Now let's talk about the next part of this after you get through the general, and 2019 arrives and it's time for session once again. Now, first of all, last year I was a little surprised. I thought they would kick a few more cans down the road, but they kicked plenty of cans down the road in 2018, being an election year, and pushing those off to 2019, right? So, I mean, there's some chickens coming home to roost, right?
There are. Probably the biggest issue is roads. You know, we've got I think pretty much everybody acknowledges we have an infrastructure problem in Alabama. We, you know, the last time that they raised the gas tax was, I think, 92.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also the last time the federal government raised the gas tax. So if you think about all that has changed with gas and automobiles in those years, you know, it's really not sufficient. So they've got to figure out a way to do it, how to distribute that tax and everything. But it's really important. I mean, Mobile understands why infrastructure is so important. I know that bridge is something everybody's really counting on. But it's more than just that. It's the deteriorating roads, the deteriorating bridges. It's become a safety issue. It's become an economic development issue. So I think that's the biggest agenda item going into this session. Everybody wants to do it. It's just, you know, devil's in the details.
Well, and part of this is maybe doing something so we are proactive instead of reactive going forward. I know that a little bit of the discussion with Speaker McCutcheon was talking about this. They did, in talking about gas taxes, what do you do for the fact that maybe not today, maybe not next week, but soon we will have probably enough electric vehicles on the road that they will be, doing the wear and tear, but not paying in through a gas tax. How do you bring all that together?
Absolutely. That's a huge consideration. There just aren't, there is not as much revenue coming in. And we don't even talk about electric cars. Cars are just more efficient now.
Right.
You know, you're buying less gas. And so to get to the same places. So yeah, I mean, there's just less revenue. I think that's going to be part of it, considering maybe some other revenue options in the future. But for now, it's a gas tax. It's a use tax, you know. So that's something they're going to have to tackle. It's really important. They'll get to it. But look, there are other issues too. Prisons. Nobody likes to really talk about prisons, but it's a huge issue. We're this close to getting taken over by the federal government. That would not be pretty. That would be like automatic tax increases and things like that. So
plus, they could let
big,
I mean,
issue.
Yeah, I remember when it happened in California. Not only did the taxpayers have to pay the additional money, the Fed said, I think they let out people from prison to alleviate whatever percentage they were over the full. Right?
I mean, that's right. That's right. I mean, and just imagine the federal government telling us, okay, well, you've got to release this portion of your prison population. I think a lot of Alabama citizens would be pretty concerned about that. And on the other hand, you'd get criminal justice reform real quick if that happened. But yeah, it's a huge issue. They've got to figure out some funding options. They've got to build some more prisons. And we've got to figure out what we're doing as far as sending people to prison. We're probably sending too many people to prison who can be dealt with in other ways through addiction treatments and things like that. So it's kind of one big issue, but I expect that to come up. And then there's the lottery and just the gambling question in general. Walt Maddox is running on the lottery, but even if he doesn't win, this is something the legislature is still going to, you know, want to get into. I don't know if it's going to be the first session. My thought has been maybe the year after, maybe let it marinate for a year. But if they, you know, if we're talking about Medicaid funding, we're talking about more education funding, nobody wants to raise taxes for those things. And so that's where a lottery conversation comes in. I think if they found a lottery that was reasonably equitable and everybody could sort of get a little bit from it, it would pass pretty easily.
But there you go. But there's the
constituencies.
Yeah, but there's the point, right? So I've got my idealistic theories about lotteries just not being part of the state government, but I also realize, you know, that I'll be on my own island chirping that one out. So with it being everybody getting, you know, everybody wetting their beak, well, what does that mean? So does if you and I had a big well-funded polling company be interested, interesting, Todd, for us to say, okay, I'm going to ask this group, do you approve of a lottery for education? Then we're going to find a new sample group, same percentages, but we'll ask them, this one is for roads and bridges and infrastructure, and then we'll ask another group of same percentages. This one is to go into the general fund. And I can tell you right now, they would not come back at the same percentages.
Oh, it would be education. And there's a psychological principle behind that. It's that, you know, you sort of consider a lottery or gambling kind of like a sin, and so you need a good deed to make up for it. And so giving money to education is a good deed, so it makes up for your sin. That's just sort of a psychological idea there. So yeah, and I think in pretty much every lottery proposal, something goes toward education, you know, pre-K, K through 12, college scholarships. But the fact of the matter is, education funding is not really the state's biggest need right now. With the economy doing really well, the state has pretty decent education funding. The needs are elsewhere. So if it's a need-based lottery, as far as where the state needs to fill in resources, you would talk about Medicaid. You would talk about prisons. You would talk about...
Right, but you're exactly right. Y'all listen to what Todd's saying. If you wanted to accurately do a lottery to fund, which we can get the lottery discussion, but if you have a lottery and you're going to use it to fund where the need is, with our, and we can get into the earmarking and all that, but if that doesn't change, okay, where you need the money in state government, those prison, okay, we're going to make a lottery, okay, Todd, here we go, we're going to make a lottery, the Alabama State Lottery, that benefits prison and prison construction. That baby doesn't pass. So you could pass one for schools where they don't, you know, with the ETF and the wall and the additional money, they don't need it as much, although people would argue differently. And you can make one where maybe we do need the money, we don't have it in the budget for prisons, but it won't pass because the hood ornament is different from one lottery to another.
It is. It's just, that's what it, look, it comes down to, it's going to be on the ballot, people have to vote for it, so you've got to give people enough good feeling about it where it actually passes. Remember that the last lottery that was on the ballot, I think it was 1999, did not pass because people just didn't trust where the money was going.
Even though they elected Don Siegelman to bring them a chance to vote on the lottery, right?
Yeah, but the way he crafted it, it was just questionable enough. It was suspect, just enough to where it didn't pass. So they really got to get it right, but... You know, look, at the same time, I admire politicians that would just be honest about things.
Me too.
If whoever champions this thing would go out and say, look, we need to fund health care. We don't want to raise your taxes to fund health care. So here's a lottery to make sure that everybody doesn't have to go to the emergency room all the time. I mean, hell, I might vote for that.
Yeah.
So, you know, but...
But the problem is that would be the logical way, once again, without getting a bigger discussion, whether you're going to do lottery or not, but say we're going to do it. The logical way to apply the money would be the unfunded SEBI mandate, or, you know, it could be mandate to fund that. But if you identify that, it does not have the carrying for the lotto bills, so it will be schools, even though that's not the top of the triage list. I mean, this is, I just want people to understand that. And it's maddening because the way it'll be demagogued or supported, depending on what the hood ornament is on that lotto.
I agree. So it's going to be really important to see how they frame it, how they construct it. I will say this, the people that are pro lottery and are pushing this, Speaker McCutcheon is kind of, you know, he could take it or leave it, but I think in the end of the day, he'll be for it. Del Marsh, the president pro tem, he's the guy in charge of the Senate and arguably the legislature. He's not going to put a lottery together that isn't addressing state needs. Plus, you know, he's considering a Senate run in 2020. So, you know, you got to consider all the different factors, all the different politics going into this. But I think they're going to talk about it this session. I don't think they're going to pass it this session.
Oh, really? Okay, that's I have not heard. The people who told me they thought it would come up and pass. So you think it's going to come up, but it does it go to a vote, or does it just come up and bounce around committee? It doesn't come out.
That's just my sense. Other people are probably way smarter than me about it. I've not seen enough meat on the bone to think, okay, yeah, we can actually pass a lottery this next time. I think they can have a lot of talk about it and then, you know, spend another year trying to get it right.
Interesting take. All right, Todd, remind folks once again, they want to get that great email in their inbox, directing them to the stories national and statewide that they need to know each day. How do they do it?
That's right. Just go to aldailynews.com, click that subscribe button in the right at the top of the website. You'll get an email from me every morning about 8 o'clock, going over the news. But I also want to hear your feedback. You know, send me a reply. It's really easy. All you got to do is reply, and I want to know what you think about the news and what your take is from your listeners down there in Mobile.
Okay, we will do it, and I'll continue to say, you know, if it's for puppies and kids, the lotto passes. If it's for anything else, it probably doesn't. Todd Stacey, always a pleasure. Coming right back, Angel Ride Foundation. Remember the Angel Ride? Do you know that name? What about the Angel Ride Foundation? Sherry Sullivan's going to join us to talk more about that when we come back right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 150, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. Remember, online, fmtalk1065.com. Not only can you get schedules of our lineup, you can get the online opinion poll question, our three big things. You can also get podcasts of this show, the morning show, the 40-some-odd hours of live local radio we do every week. Waiting for you over at the podcast tab on the front page of fmtalk1065.com. Plus, you can subscribe over at iTunes or Stitcher, to name a few, to get our podcast. Right, I mentioned going into the break, we're going to talk about the Angel Ride Foundation, and joining me, Sherry Sullivan, to talk more about this. I would say no relation, but there's a chance. I mean, there's a chance. No relation that we know of.
No, probably a long-lost cousin.
That's though. Right. That's probably all kin way back. Now, Angel Ride, that name, people know that name. People around here know the Angel Ride.
They do know the Angel Ride. It's got a great brand here in Baldwin and Mobile counties, and especially for people who like motorcycles and want to come out for the ride and enjoy great country music. And, I mean, it's just synonymous with both of those things, motorcycles and country music.
Right, and helping out what charity?
We actually, the foundation itself, benefits the medical needs of children in Baldwin County who, with their medical needs, may not be covered by insurance. So it helps those children and their families support those costs.
Money stays right here?
Right here at home. That's
okay.
Right.
This year, a little different, not have the Angel Ride, but Angel Ride Foundation, some different events happening, and also looking at maybe getting some people involved that haven't been involved in the past.
Right. This year, they're not going to have the ride and the concert. Again, we talked about it being very labor-intensive and costly to put on an event like
putting
that.
On a show is not easy.
It's not. And it's, again, it takes away money from the people who really need it the most. So they're regrouping this year. They're doing a drawdown and silent auction the end of the month in Robertsdale. And then they're going to regroup, look for some new volunteers to put on the board and just some new energy to be able to hopefully bring the Angel Ride back next year.
Okay, so if somebody's listening to us right now and says, okay, I know that. I know that brand. I like homespun charities that stay right here at home. They want to volunteer. You're looking for just anybody, any specific kind of person to volunteer?
It's really not any specific kind of person. I think the biggest thing is to look for those people who just aren't looking for a place to put their name on a board. It's the people who really want to get in there and work, which are the hard people to find.
Right.
Because it takes everybody on the board and additional volunteers to put on events like that they do, like the Angel Ride. So we're really looking for those people who are willing to work.
Yeah, it's going to be a second or a third job for people when you do this.
It is, especially from, I would say, you know, September, not even September, August, until, you know, just after the event. It's a lot of work that goes into it. And you spend those 3 or 4 days you spend out at Oak Hollow when they do that event. You spend 24 hours out there putting it together. So it's labor intensive.
Yeah, but there's this thing. There's this thing that it's hard to quantify, hard to explain, but we've all felt it before. When you do something like that, you give of yourself, give of your time, and you watch something like that work. There's a warm, fuzzy, I don't know, the thing that happens, right? I mean, that's kind of people's dedication to their community is what probably brings them to charity. But when that warm, fuzzy happens, you know, it's addictive.
It's addictive. And it's special because you see, like, Riley and Rayleigh, who the foundation are named for, you see them in those Jeeps leading the ride, and you know that there's 1,000 other kids out there in Baldwin County just like them that they have helped with medical expenses. And that's what makes giving of your time and your money makes you feel good when you see it like that.
So let's talk about this drawdown. You said Robertsdale, give us some time,
okay,
parameters,
yeah,
and all this.
It's going to be October the 27th, okay, at the PZK Hall in Robertsdale. It's from 6 to 10, okay, and it is, we're going to have entertainment by Last Call Rodeo. They're a local band. We're going to have them. We're going to have a huge silent auction. There's going to be food. So for a $100 ticket, you'll get dinner for two, entertainment, and dinner for two, and then an opportunity to bid on the silent auction, and then also the chance to win $5,000.
Well, what?
That's right, $5,000.
Now you got a bunch of other people. So Sherry just said what?
That's right.
Okay.
$100, and it gives you a chance to win $5,000.
All right. So I like this. As somebody is listening to us right now, is that they need to get tickets ahead of time? Is there a website to go to? How is this all done?
You can find them on Facebook, or you can go to angel-ride.com and look for them there. You can purchase those on their website, but probably the best way, I can give you a phone number too, but go into the Facebook page. There's an event page set up. You can buy tickets.
And Facebook, just search for Angel Ride.
Angel Ride.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And go there. All right. I'm doing it. I'm doing this along with y'all here. I'm testing it. All right.
And or you can go again to angel-ride.com.
All right, so we go to that, and that'll give us the information for the... there we go. All right, so that gives us the information for the tickets, and then we get those, and we just see you on the 27th. I think that's a Saturday,
It is a Saturday night.
All right, very good. And at that event, if somebody's listening to us right now, if they were interested in volunteering going forward, whether it be... you know, for whatever capacity. Is that a good time to... do they need to call ahead of time, or is it so busy?
It's probably better to call ahead of time, because the thing that we're going to be working on the most would be the silent auction, putting all that stuff together. But if you give us a call ahead of time, message us on Facebook, message us through, you know, the website, however you want to get in touch with us, we really need help for this event ahead of time.
Okay, and so you could use the help right now between now and the 27th.
Right.
Okay, that's good. So people can come in, get their feet wet, and then start moving forward on next year's.
Absolutely.
All right, once again, this is coming up on the 27th. Of course, Angel Ride, that name y'all know. This is same Angel Ride, same folks. You're not riding this year, but you're having a big party.
That's right.
In Robertsdale.
Big party in Robertsdale.
Good deal. Sherry, thank you. Best of luck with this. Any more information you want to pass along before we wrap up here?
I don't think so. I think just the biggest thing is check the website, check Facebook, make sure you like us, and keep up to date on the latest information.
Very good. 155 FM Talk 106.5. We'll put that up, Dalton, if you can. I'll put that up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. I guess it's about time for Paul Feinbaum to come on me to get some coffee or something like that to move forward. I'll be back tomorrow morning bright and early for Mobile Mornings at 6. And remember, Facebook page, website, also details of our Ultimate Tailgate Contest. It is rolling on right now through November 15th. I'd like to get signed up. We got 5 participating sponsors. They're listed there. You stop on by. You make your name known by filling out the little card there, dropping it in once per day, please. Y'all be cool. Once per day, put that name in there. And then we'll do that drawing from all our participating sponsors coming up on November 15th. So good luck in that. All right, Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. Y'all have a great one.